Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, greetings, brethren, and let me say I'd like to wish one and all a very happy, prosperous, and fulfilling, profitable Feast of Pentecost today as we come together. It is always something that we do on the holy days. We are to come, not empty-handed, but come before the Lord with an offering. And so we'll go into the offertory that's planned for today. The title of the offertory message is Coming Resurrection. Coming Resurrection. We're going to talk about why were the saints in the first century church, just after Jesus Christ was resurrected, why were they assembling on a Sunday when Sabbath is the holy day, when we worship God, praise God, and look into the scriptures and learn all about God? Well, in this offertory message, the coming resurrection, let's begin by going to Acts chapter 1. I'd like to begin in Acts chapter 1 and look at the fact that the church, as it was being formed, as it was coming together, as God was working with his people in a very special way on this Pentecost day, there were, it says in Acts 1 and verse 15, it says, the number of names together were about 120. So here we are with all the apostles and all the followers of Jesus Christ. Some of the brethren confused and scared and hiding because Jesus Christ had just been slain, and they didn't know for sure what exactly was working out. But Peter, led through the Holy Spirit, gave some very, very good instructions. And I'd like to turn over now to Acts chapter 2, and you can put your marker there in Acts 2, because when we begin the main sermon in just a little while, I'll come back here to Acts 2 and speak about it more fully. But I'd just like to read it briefly right now in this offertory message. It says in Acts 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And so we're familiar with that. This is what happened at Pentecost. Jesus Christ was raising up the new church. But I wanted to come to Acts chapter 2 because I wanted to show you one of the subjects that was very much on Peter's mind, and he's sharing it with the people. If we go over to stay here in Acts 2, but speaking of Jesus Christ in verse 24, we'll see that the resurrection, not only of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection of the saints, us, very much is pointed to and recognized on the Feast of Pentecost. It's one of the subjects that Peter is speaking about to the saints of God. We read in verse 24, whom God, again, this is Jesus Christ, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus Christ couldn't stay dead. He was dead 3 days and three nights in the grave. We read in verse 25, for David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. When you read those words, rest in hope, understand that that is a reference to not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but to our resurrection. That has to do with Pentecost. If you go back, we're not going to go there today, but you can mark this and go back in your studies, to Psalm 16, and read verses 8 through 11. It's a very short chapter in Psalms. You'll see that this, in the Hebrew, where it speaks of resting in hope, it can also be translated from the Hebrew, dwelling confidently, alive confidently, knowing that we shall live. It's a reference to the resurrection. And we continue in verse 27. We're still in Acts 2 and verse 27. Because you will not leave my soul in the grave, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ wasn't going to stay in the grave and waste away until there was nothing but bone and then dust. That didn't happen to Jesus Christ. Verse 28, you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. So Peter is quoting the Old Testament there, and he's making this point about the resurrection. And so he comes to this point, he says, let me make it perfectly clear. He says in verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. You know, that was obvious. David was not alive. King David was in his sepulcher. And it's with us unto this day, Peter says. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Or we should properly translate that, the Messiah. The promise was that from David, from his own body, the Messiah would come in the flesh. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. We're talking about the resurrection here. And this is all happening on the Feast of Pentecost. That his soul or his life was not left in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. They had just picked a 12th apostle because Judas Iscariot had failed, and they had raised him up to be a witness, and Peter refers a number of times to the fact they were witnesses of the life of Christ. We're all witnesses, it says in verse 32. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath sent forth this which we now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. So he's going on. Let's just conclude with verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, the Savior, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, both eternal and Messiah, both Master and Anointed One for the millennium. So Peter is laying out very clearly that death has no hold on the saints. We're speaking about the coming resurrection. Let's go back to Leviticus 23, as we so often do on these feast days, because we'll see there this connection between Christ and between the saints. And it's very important, brethren, that we understand that there is a connection between Jesus Christ and his going to the Father and being accepted, and our being presented to the Father as well. Let's go to Leviticus 23, and we'll begin in verse 10. And I'll bring up that same question again. We haven't answered it. Why were the saints assembling on a Sunday? Why are we meeting on a Sunday today? And so we come to Leviticus 23, and we read in verse 10, Moses is receiving these instructions from God. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap its harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits. We know that that's a omer, and this word that's translated first fruits is the first of the first fruits. Again, speaking of the resurrection, we are with Christ. He's the first of the first fruits, and we are of the first fruits as well, of your harvest unto the priest. And we're very familiar with verse 11, and he, the priest, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord pick up on that. He's going to waive it. That's a presentation. That's an offering to the Lord to be accepted for you. Now notice this timing. On the morrow after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath is always what we refer to as Sunday. Not a very good name for this day, but that's what we know it by. We know this day of the week, this first day of the week, is Sunday. And it's presented to us as on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priests shall waive it. So we understand very clearly that this is a reference to Jesus Christ, and he was waived on the day of the wave sheep offering. He was presented to the Father. And let's look at that offering. We're talking about an offering right now. In verse 12, and you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, without blemish, no sin. Christ never sinned. For a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meal offering, it should read, thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour. And notice the connection with the bread and the wine that Jesus Christ introduced at Passover, the night before he died. Fine flour mingled with oil. I want you to pick up on the oil, because the oil is significant. It points to this Holy Spirit that we have received on Pentecost. Jesus Christ was filled with Holy Spirit. So the offering that represents Jesus Christ, yes, it'll be bread and wine, but it's a special bread, a bread made with oil, representing God's Holy Spirit. An offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hen. And so we see that there's a picture right there of God's Holy Spirit being in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being offered to the Father. Drop down to verse 15. And this is where we start jumping from this time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the wave sheaf offering of Jesus Christ right after the death and resurrection of Christ. We jump forward, and we're going to start talking about Pentecost. From verse 15 on, we're looking at Pentecost. And look at the instruction here. There's a parenthetical inset, but they go together. You'll see that they very clearly go together. They're tied together. They're the only holy days that are tied together that have to be counted so that they're tied together. You know, seven sevens, a picture of perfection. So verse 15 we read, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, that's a Sunday again, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave. So that day that represented Jesus Christ being presented and accepted by the Father, that's the day that you start your count. Seven Sabbaths, and that word Sabbaths here takes a lot of studying and looking into, but it's weeks. It's a week-long set of days. If you study through, it's a complicated word, but it should be translated weeks. It shall be 7 weeks shall be complete. Or we can know that because this day of Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks. Even from the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, that was yesterday, shall you number 50 days. That's today, the 50th day. And you shall offer, again, we're talking about the offering, you shall offer a new meat or meal offering unto the Lord. So now we're 50 days later, from when Jesus Christ was presented, from the time that Jesus Christ, we know Jesus was resurrected. That's what Peter was talking about, the resurrection. Jesus Christ was not left in the grave. And we read in verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. So we're back to this product of bread, of 2/10 deals. They shall be made of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. Not with oil this time, but with leaven. This is regular bread. This is the kind of bread we eat when we eat a sandwich all year long. That's the kind of bread that is offered on Pentecost or on the Feast of Weeks. They are the first fruits of the Lord. These 2 wave loaves represent very clearly the first fruits unto the Lord. So all who are the first fruits unto the Lord, not the great general resurrection that comes at the end of the millennium, but those who are resurrected prior to the millennium, all of them, whether they were in the Old Testament or the New Testament, any special category of prophet that Jesus Christ worked with by giving his spirit to the prophets, these are all included in this first fruits unto the Lord. Drop down to verse 20. And the priests shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. So we see the same thing is done with these offerings as was done with Jesus Christ. This shows that our resurrection is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a very, very important day that we're looking at. A wave offering before the Lord. I'm in the middle of verse 20. With the two lambs, they shall be holy unto the Lord for the priest. Verse 21. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that's what we're doing today. We are proclaiming today that it may be a holy convocation. Today's not a work day, where Sunday would normally be a work day for us. Unto you, you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So we see very clearly that the wave sheaf of Jesus Christ and the wave that represents us, the wave loaves, are tied together by this seven sevens, the 7 weeks, and it's sandwiched between these Sundays, the Sunday at the beginning and the Sunday at the end, which totals 50 days inclusive. So, brethren, we see very clearly that this is a very important day for us. We are going to be offered. Just wanted to bring this aspect as we consider the offering that we present to God individually as New Testament Christians today. So while we are taking up the collection, we're going to have special music. The special music today is a very beautiful piece that is entitled, O Divine Redeemer. Please sit back and enjoy. This piece starts off very softly, and then it will crescendo as we go through. Sit back and enjoy as we take up the offering, and we'll come back after this for the rest of today's messages.